Southern California College Training, July 6 through 12, 2009, Sacramento, California. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Morning Session 2, Message 4. Special Fellowship Regarding the Gospel Work on the College Campuses, Part 2.
So we saw yesterday that the students are indispensable on the college campus, right? Amen. So that yesterday we saw that the students are indispensable and the campus work must be under the hands of the students.
Amen.
That means it's under your hands. You got it in your hands. I give it to you. Now, what do you do? What do you do to carry out the campus work? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. And so I'll read the title. Students who are burdened for their campus must form a nucleus. There is no other way to carry out a work among the students. So let's underline burdened and form a nucleus and no other way. So let me just talk about this word nucleus. Nucleus means a group, right? A group gets together, but it has a certain function in life. That's what a nucleus is. I'll read a little definition of nucleus. A mass directing the cell's growth, metabolism, and reproduction, and functioning in the transmission of genetic characters. So as a nucleus, what do you want? You want to grow Christ.
Yeah.
You want to metabolize Christ.
Amen.
Reproduce Christ.
Amen.
And functioning in the transmission of the divine life.
Amen.
So this, you know, on the campus now that the work is in your hands, we need to form a nucleus. That means students get together, but it's not necessarily to carry out the work. First, we need to pray.
Amen.
And prayer brings in the growth of Christ,
Amen.
The metabolization of Christ,
Amen.
And the reproduction of Christ.
Amen.
So our first goal in the nucleus is to pray. And we'll see this as we go through the outline. So let's go ahead and move to Acts 13:1, and we can all read it.
Now there were in Antioch, in the local church, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrenian, and Manaen, the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul.
So here we have like a hodgepodge of brothers, you know, all different kinds. But what were they doing? They were ministering to the Lord and fasting. Ministering to the Lord is looking at the Lord face to face with a desire in your heart that the Lord would be satisfied.
Amen.
This is what our gathering into a group, gathering into a nucleus is. Our heart is to minister to the Lord,
Amen.
To satisfy His heart. So, these, you know, it's not an organization, but it's an activity in life, to enjoy life, that you could cooperate with the head in the heavens as seeking believers here on earth to carry out a work in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and with the Spirit through the Christ in the heavens. So this is what the brothers did. So they ministered to the Lord and fast, and then the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me now, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. So there's then the activity came out of the ministry to the Lord. So this is really important to see that the work starts with our ministering to the Lord. And our work, what is our work? Our work is to work Christ into people.
Amen.
We want to work Christ into man. Work Christ, have Christ worked into us and work Christ into others. This is our work. So let's go ahead and read that first little paragraph there. The nucleus is like a little fishing boat, and the members of the nucleus are like hooks that catch people and bring them into the nucleus. So we want to catch people and bring them into the very thing we're enjoying. we don't have to, if we develop the nucleus, we don't have to worry where to bring them. What do we do? Once I talk to this person, what do I do with them? How do I shepherd him? How do I bring him on in the Lord? I don't know what to do once he receives the Lord. Well, you've been developing an atmosphere of prayer, a loving, caring, a nurturing atmosphere of pursuing the Lord. So you catch them and you bring them right into what you're enjoying. This is the view with the nucleus, a living organism. So you can see that all kinds of fish in verse 13:1. You see all kinds of fish are there. You know, Barnabas, who was a Levite, a Cyprian by birth, a Simeon, he was of African origin, Lucius, he was a North African, maybe a Jew, and Manan, he was Europeanized, and even the brother of someone who killed John the Baptist. So, and Saul, of course, with the Jew of Jews, right? So all kinds of people were there. So what kind of fish do you catch? Well, any kind of fish. It's just people. And because everybody needs this. Everybody is longing for the purpose of their human life. Everybody wants to become part of a nucleus. This is the real desire in their heart, to grow in Christ, to be fed with Christ, and to reproduce Christ. So let's go ahead and let's just read together the next paragraph.
At present, very few brothers who lead the meetings have the proper aim. We attend meeting after meeting, yet there is little result. We even exhort the attendees to pray read. However, we do so without realizing that with pray reading there should be an aim. If we pray read without an aim, there will be no result. No spiritual matter can be our aim. Such matters are merely the means by which we bring people to our aim. Our aim should be that people would be saved so that they can become members of a nucleus.
Amen. Our aim should be that people would be saved so that they can become members of the nucleus. Eventually, all our prayer, all our ministering to the Lord, it has a certain direction, and it's towards people. And now that you're formed into a nucleus, you have a way to carry that out. It's not by yourselves. It's in oneness with the other members of the nucleus. So this is our aim. I'll go ahead and read the third paragraph. On each campus, there needs to be a nucleus of students that can take up the leadership on that campus. This nucleus should consist of 2 to 5 brothers and sisters. There is no other way to carry out a work among the students. Like that, no other way to carry out a work. And that means there are ways, but really there's no other way. The church may have a burden to work at a certain school. However, the church cannot work at the school directly. It must raise up students to be the brothers and sisters who can take the lead on the campus and be burdened for the work there. I like this, take the lead on the campus. Who else is going to take the lead on the campus? You have a campus. Who's going to take the lead to save people and to minister Christ to them? To help them grow in life. Who's going to take the lead? It's like they're waiting for somebody to take the lead to do this. I mean, I serve on the campus. I really shouldn't be the one to take the lead on the campus. It should be the students that are on the campus to take the lead. So this isn't taking the lead in a way of position. I'll have the lead. But it's a way of function. This is my function. I just take the lead to minister Christ. I take the lead to shepherd others. I take the lead to bring them into this loving atmosphere of prayer. So this is our way to take the lead and be burdened for the work there. I like this word, burdened for the work. You know, some students have told me, you know, I don't feel burdened. I don't feel burdened that others would receive the Lord, be saved, bring them to a meeting. I just don't feel burdened. But I think once you pick up the burden, then you will be burdened. So it's like if I want to move this table outside, And I say, Mario, help me move the table outside. And he's like, well, I don't feel much burden to move the table. You know? But once he picks the table up, he'll feel the burden of the table. And he'll move it outside. Because now he's burdened. He has the table in his hands. So once you start to pick up this work, the more you pick it up, the more you'll be burdened. So we can take the lead on the campus and be burdened for the work there. So let's all read together the next paragraph. It is important for you who attend the same university to meet with one another as a nucleus on campus. You should build up a nucleus on your campus and gather together to pray as a nucleus at least once a week. After praying together, you should seek to bring those who you know into the nucleus one by one. You may say that it's not easy to bring your classmates to the Lord. This is truly true if you are separate from one another and behave as individuals. However, if you form a nucleus and then bring people to that nucleus, it will be easy for you to bring your friends to the Lord and to the church. It will be easy. So I like this word, gather together to pray. All right, this is the emphasis in the beginning. Gather together to pray as a nucleus at least once a week. So you have to have a definite time to pray with one another. And through your prayer, you know, everything will come out of the prayer. Well, how do we carry out this? How do we do this? How will we go out to preach the gospel? How do we carry out the Bible study? How do we have a table on campus? How will we do all these other things to meet the need of the Lord? Well, when you pray, everything will issue out.
Amen. That.
Eventually, out of prayer, an atmosphere, a loving atmosphere with the mutual care and fellowship will issue out. An atmosphere so attractive to the other people that you catch on the campus will issue out of that prayer. Also, all the things you want to carry out on campus, all the things you want to do, that'll just come out of the prayer. And also that'll come out as the Lord will be satisfied.
Amen.
That's the most important thing, to satisfy the Lord.
Amen.
So we're giving the Lord a way to move and a way to for Him to be satisfied in forming these nucleus by coming together and pray.
Amen.
And then we seek to bring those whom you know into the nucleus. So seeking to bring, it may not be you waiting for them to walk by, but it may be you going to visit them with another brother, with another sister, to their dorm room, to their apartment, to their house. But you're going as the nucleus, going, you know, in one accord with the saints who you pray with, but you're going to seek these other believers so that eventually, after seeking, you can bring them right into that atmosphere, that group. So, after praying together, you should seek to bring those whom you know into the nucleus one by one. So we all need to have a burden for our classmates. And, you know, we may say our classmates, our friends, people we work with, we may say it's kind of difficult. You know, what about my time management? What about, you know, I have a job, I have classes, I have all kinds of homework, I have this project, I have tests. And it may not seem so easy to do this. But in the nucleus, it will be easy.
Amen.
It will be easy.
Amen.
When you're in one accord with the other brothers and sisters, whatever you do will be easy. Why? Because you're just so full of the Lord.
Amen.
You enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is your supply.
Amen.
It'll be easy to do this. This will not be a so-called a work that you're trying to labor to carry out. This will be the highest enjoyment you've ever experienced.
Amen.
So I just say it will be easy.
Amen.
I'll just turn it over to John now. Let's go ahead and read the title again, Students with Burden.
Students who are burdened for
the Lord
must form a nucleus. There is no other way to carry out the work among the students.
Hallelujah.
the gospel work on the college campuses. Surely every college campus needs the gospel. But I appreciated that what we are doing is not a work. It's an activity in life. Our brother read that definition. The nucleus seeks to metabolize, to reproduce itself, and eventually to transmit the genic characters. So as we are metabolizing the triune God in His Word, both individually and with two or three others, something gets into us, and that something then is meant to be transmitted to someone else. If it just stays in us, then that cell becomes cancerous. A cancerous cell is a cell that only takes in. It doesn't have any benefit for the body. And it just becomes a mass, eventually causing death to regular healthy cells around it, and in extreme cases, death to the whole body. Well, I wouldn't say that you all are a cancer or that I'm a cancer, but I would say that we have a particular burden, especially from this time and from your testimonies of being on the gospel, that we want to transmit this wonderful person who is living himself inside of us into others so that they could enjoy him. And this happens is particularly with the young people. When I say the name Paul, especially as in reference to the book of Acts, what is your thought? When you conjure up a visual image, what is your thought? Is it a guy like a brother Brian, kind of older, aged, Paul the aged? Now, but it's interesting that Acts 7:58 says they laid their garments at the feet of a young man. It was a particular person, a young man. So the young man, the young people are particularly important, like our brother shared yesterday, to turn the age. But not as individuals. If you read through Acts, and I just did a cursory reading up through chapter 16, you have to look for more. You'll see that Paul never acted individually. Actually, in every case, there was always a group of people that were operating together. I just want to read you a couple examples in Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John were going up into the temple at the ninth hour prayer. So they were going to pray together. And they were a nucleus there, because what happened was a blind man was healed by them. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. So what they were doing, Peter and John, became reproduced in that blind man that became healed by being attached to that group. You read the quote at the beginning. The nucleus is like a little fishing boat. So Peter and John going up into the temple were just a little fishing boat going up and hooking this blind man to them, eventually adding him to that group. Also, you can look at Acts 11:11-12. This is Peter recounting to the apostles, to the apostles there in Jerusalem, his account of the Gentiles receiving the Lord in the house of Cornelius. And he said, "And behold, at that moment, three men stood at the house in which we were, having been sent from Caesarea to me. And the Spirit told me to go with them." He said, "told me to go with them, doubting nothing. And these six brothers went with me also. And we entered into the man's house." The man's house there, of course, is the house of Cornelius. And so a great fishing took place there. This nucleus of men with six others went to the house of Cornelius and caught every single one of you into their fishing boat. You realize that? Every one of us was saved at that point. Was baptized into the body of Christ in the house of Cornelius by the Spirit coming upon them. That is the greatest fishing that ever took place through a young man operating in a nucleus, operating as a group, blended, built together with others. And then just one example, one last one that I really appreciated. If you look in Acts 16, 31 and 32. Now, of course, before that, Paul and Silas are in prison, and they were praising God. And then in 31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of God to him together with all those in his house. So Paul and Silas actually became a nucleus in prison. So many times we may find that in the hardest situations, the salvation comes from our nucleus. That one or two that we have prayed together with, we pray together with, and then out of that, someone else receives the Lord. That genic character that was metabolized into us becomes transmitted to them. So this is what we're burdened for. We're not burdened for you all to go out and do a work. You're not going to go back to your campus. And as serving ones, we're just going to say, "Here you go. Adios." And then, you know, fade from the scene. And now you're left holding the burden. But we are burdened that our students would form a nucleus with some others who are likewise burdened for that campus. And then from that, begin to take the leadership on that campus. I really appreciate. We are just, what our brother shared it. I myself look really out of place on that campus. And what our sister shared about the student who came up to her. You have a bunch of old people at your table. Do you even have any college students? I just think, Lord, what am I doing? The students, yeah, that's the point. The students, not me. They don't come to me. The students need to take the leadership. That's who the other students want to see. And so we want to begin turning this boat from a full-timer driven work to a student-driven work. And of course, as we'll see later, this is also in the fellowship of the body. Fully supplying and supporting one another and standing with one another. I would like to read a few quotes here from this. So, if you desire to carry out the Lord's work on the college campuses, you need to form nucleuses. In order to do anything among the college students, the students on each campus need to form a nucleus of students who are burdened for their campus. While it is possible to do something for the Lord without a nucleus is necessary if you wish to be prevailing. The only way to carry out a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing work on any college campus is to form a nucleus. The only way. And we need to form a nucleus. Right now we're in the stage of just forming a nucleus. We'll read later. That happens mainly by prayer. But one of the best things to do when you come together is to just pray. We don't want to spend so much time sowing onto other things. Even we could talk about it. Maybe we're fellowshipping about the Lord. That's good. But the primary matter is to pray together with one another. We need to touch that divine life. And in Ezekiel 1, the four living creatures became coordinated not by touching bodies, but by touching wings. And those wings are the divine strength and grace that we touch through our prayer with one another. Amen. Another section. In forming a nucleus, the first thing you should do is gain one or two. After gaining one or two, you can form a nucleus with them. Once you have gained these ones, you should not work to do anything else. Your sole focus should be forming a nucleus. In these days, our burden is not the work itself, but rather the formation of the nucleus. Without a nucleus being formed, it will be impossible for a work on the campus to be prevailing. Do not act prematurely and try to begin the work before you have first formed a nucleus. Simply endeavor to form a nucleus. As you first contact people, do not do it with a view toward the work. Rather, contact them simply to gain materials with which to form the nucleus. And our brother shared, what is our aim? We need to have a clear aim when we do these things. It's not so many spiritual matters per se. Yes, we need the spiritual matters, and actually we need to get into them first. Prayer reading, morning revival, so that we can bring others into them to make them the best material for the building of the house of God. When this building was built, we didn't just take a bunch of trees and a bunch of stones and pile them up and say, here's the building of the Alumni Center. Those materials had to be cut, they had to be processed in a certain way, then they had to be built and arranged under a master planner in such a way that we had a nice structure to have our meeting in. And so this is what takes place in the nucleus. Rather, contact them simply to gain materials with which to form the nucleus. Amen. And then one of the last things before I go on to the next section. Once we have formed the nucleus, the primary matter that we should attend to is prayer. It will be very good for the members of the nucleus to meet once a week simply to pray. Such meetings are very important. In principle, these gatherings are just as important as the meetings of the church. So our brother mentioned one of the ways to sow into the Spirit is to attend the meetings of the church. Well, I would hold that also one of the ways to sow into the Spirit is to come together with your nucleus and pray together with one another. And actually, our nucleus is not static. We realize we're connected to a lot of brothers and sisters. And I pray sometimes with Brother Brian. Sometimes I pray with several other brothers all at once on the team. Sometimes I pray with students. And sometimes I pray with community saints. And I would call each one of them a nucleus seeking to reproduce itself, to bring others in. So why don't we go ahead and let's go on and let's read the next title, There Must Be. Amen. So, a harmonious relationship between the campus work and the church. Actually, what we're doing is a move in the body and for the body. Why are we seeking to bring members into our nucleus? Not just to have a successful nucleus and say, well, my nucleus is better than yours because I... We're not like that. We are seeking to gain people to bring them into the church, to be built into the body of Christ. I really appreciate one brother among us. He shared, why are we so happy? Because we're getting built into the body of Christ. Well, this week, there has been a little bit of building. Some prayers, some fellowship. Well, that's why we want to gain people. Amen. Not just for the sake of having big numbers or this kind of thing, but so that people could be added into the body of Christ. Amen. To accomplish the Lord's heart's desire. I mean, that's why we exist, for the Lord's heart's desire. Amen. So there must be a harmonious relationship between the campus work and the church. And the verse there, why don't we go ahead and read Ephesians 4:12.
For the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ.
Right. So it surely says there, for the perfecting of the older saints only, right? No, it says for the perfecting of the saints. Right? We need perfecting. And actually, I need perfecting.
Amen.
I need perfecting in my speaking. For the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry. So everyone is involved in this. Every dear brother and sister has a particular portion in our... One of the verses that was mentioned, it was 1 Corinthians. We are members one of another. We have, in and of myself, it's a partial life that I have. Right? The hand has... only the hand life of the body, right? It can't say that it has the foot life and the heart life and the mind life. The hand only has the hand life, so it's a partial life. But together, it functions as a necessary part of the body.
Amen.
And so every member is needed for the perfecting of all the saints. This is the work of the ministry. This is the building up of the body of Christ. And so we as full-timers are also realizing that We did too much. We thought it was one way. And we just by our natural thought, we thought, well, yeah, when you have the special forces there, they need to go and do the work, and then they leave and everyone's shot up. But you saints, you can't fight a war with special forces alone. You need every member of the army. There's just too few of them to go around. Okay, why don't I just read a few things from here for you to highlight. In the first line, there is also a danger of doing a work that is independent of the body. Go ahead and highlight that. Then skip down in that first paragraph to the fifth line and highlight, on the one hand, your work should not be under the control or limitation of the church, but on the other hand, you must be part of a nucleus of people who know the church life.
Amen.
And then in the second paragraph, just that first sentence, go ahead and highlight or underline. As members of the body, you need to realize that as students, you need help, fellowship, and coordination from the church. Amen. So why don't we go ahead? We'll have the students who were prepared to share their experience come up. And realize that no one has as a corner on the market. These are just some who are entering into this. Perhaps you also are entering into this. So we just like to be encouraged by one another sharing.
So my name is Simpson. I'm a third year at UCLA. And I just want to share with you all, you know, how the Lord has been burdening me for the gospel on my campus over the past 2 years. And so I just want to start. Before I came to college as a high school senior, you know, I didn't know much about the campus, how everything works. So I did not have a burden, you know, to preach the gospel to my friends or to shepherd new ones. You know, I thought, like, I'm just a sheep, you know, I want people to feed me. But then after coming to UCLA, to my college, you know, I realized that the Lord needs to gain the college students on my campus. You know, the young people are the best, are the most, are like the, at their prime to be gained by the Lord. You know, but then, and then for me, I'm at the best, as a college student, I'm at the best time to shepherd them, you know, to gain them and to, you know, encourage them. And so I just, after, you know, through the serving one's encouragement, I just had to repent because I did not have a burden. So I just pray, you know, Lord, give me a burden for my campus. Give me a burden for my friends. And, you know, I don't have a burden, Lord. So, and I also pray, you know, Lord, give me a companion to pray with. You know, and surely enough, last summer, the Lord sent me a companion. And it was pretty funny because I didn't think, I thought I would get a companion from UCLA. But the Lord, he sent me a companion from all the way from Japan. he was a brother from Japan, and now he's my roommate in your brother's house. It's like he fell straight from the sky. I didn't see that coming. But anyway, we're now prayer companions, and we've been praying for about a week. I mean, every week for about a year, and it's just been so enjoyable just to pray for. First, we pray for whatever's on our heart. Like, I need to wake up early in the morning. You know, we just pray for that, and we also pray for, you know, the work on our campuses, because he goes to SMC, and I go to UCLA. So we pray for both of our schools, and it's just been really enjoyable to pray for our friends. And actually, it's amazing to see how the Lord works through these prayers. Like, one of my friends, he's been coming to the home meetings for about 2 years, and it's just been wonderful to see him grow in life. I was praying for him. He's been enjoying the Lord, God's economy, and he's also recently been bringing his friend, his roommate, over, and he's been coming also for the past 2 months. And also, we also pray for his friends that come to his home meeting, and they're bringing their friends. And anyway, the Lord works through our prayers. And also about the nucleus, like, I know we just started at UCLA, like, last week, a couple of students just got together, and we just prayed on our campus just in the middle of the day for about 30 minutes. And I don't know, we just prayed for the Lord to give us the burden for the work on our campus. Amen. Praise the Lord for prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah. Last year at the college training, Dave and I came and we heard about the twos and threes getting together, and this really touched us. When we got back home, we just looked at each other and we said, I want to go on, brother. And so we got together, had a scheduled time during every week this last year just to pray. We started with just praying, and we realized that we, like Jason, we had to learn how to pray. It started slow, but after a while, we realized we really touched something. Out of touching this life in the prayer, we picked up a burden. We started, we got together, we prayed for one another. We picked up a burden for our classmates, our friends, our coworkers, for the gospel. And once we had some, we had a lot of enjoyment from this as well. And we had something to bring these ones into. And it was actually easy to invite them to our Thursday nights and Friday nights from that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We had about, in our immediate small group, we had about 10 of us with one serving one. We would get together after work, and we would go to Chili's and have a Bible study. That was one of the things that we did after work, just the time together. There was 5 of the 10 of these brothers that really stood out to us that we had been praying for. We were burdened for where I work and Josh's friends and all of our classmates. And by the Lord's mercy, the Lord saved my coworker Harrison, who was an atheist. And, you know, he was pretty, we weren't exactly sure at what point he got saved. Well, in a college application letter, he was asked to talk about something that had changed his life. And he talked about receiving the Lord. And I remember at the end he said, me and the Lord Jesus are enjoying life. I was like, we're just like, hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the 2s and 3s. And then my other coworker named Jordan was a Buddhist. And he ended up getting saved, praise the Lord. He's been meeting with us for the past, what has it been, about 10, 11 months or something. And he says that his most enjoyment for this past year was just being with the brothers, just being in the body life. He said that's his highest enjoyment this past year, just the supply he's received. Also, Josh had a classmate. His name is Song. We call him Song of Songs because in the beginning he was kind of really philosophical. He'd come to the meetings and, you know, analyze, right? But we kept on praying by the Lord's mercy. He had a wonderful salvation, and he can't stop preaching the gospel now. And so, yeah, it's been glorious. And actually, just recently, before we came to this, before we came to this conference, Josh's old high school friend, who was the first one we prayed for a year ago, just got saved.
Amen.
So, amen. Anyways, we were just enjoying that. We were praying for these ones, and we didn't realize it, but the Lord was using the 2s and 3s to form a nucleus. We had no idea. We were praying for these separate ones, and now most of us are going to CSUN. We're in scattered places right now, but the Lord has mercy on us. We're going to go to CSUN and have a nucleus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My name is Tim Liu. I just graduated from UC San Diego. And just hearing all the students, other students share, I realized that there's a common denominator on all the sharing, and that is the students have to rise up and that they have to come together in prayer. Right? These two things go hand in hand. And in my experience, this past winter, we had a winter trip for San Diego. And it all started with the coordination of the students and the full-timers, right, coming together. And then once we prayed, then we had a burden, and we had a burden that we needed more prayer, and we needed to form vital groups and get into the 2s and 3s, right? And in Matthew 18:20 it says, right, for two or three are gathered together, there am I in their midst. Right, this is how everything starts. It comes starts with the 2s and 3s, right? And after this trip, it became like a springboard for a lot of the students. Actually, they started a call out college students. They started attending the prayer meetings, and then we started a weekly student coordination.
Amen.
And it's all you have to come together to pray, right? If you don't have the burden, you have to pray for a burden. And then actually, once you have a burden, then you want to pray more, and it just keeps going, right? And we shouldn't worry too much about what campus we're on or how many full-timers we have or, you know, all these things. If you don't have full-timers, you can pray about it, right? If you don't have a companion, you need to pray about it.
Amen.
If you don't have a burden, you need to pray about it.
Amen.
If you don't want to pray, you need to pray about that too.
Yeah.
Right? Everything. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My name is Amber. I'm going to be a fifth year at UC San Diego, and I just wanted to give my personal testimony of the student coordination time that we had, the Nucleus. I actually picked up a burden for a new one that we met at a Welcome Week dinner, and she was very open and very encouraging, and so I brought her to a lot of the meetings. And she was doing pretty well, except she only really knew me, and she only she would like stick with me at the meetings, and it was okay, but even she felt she had a desire to know other students, but I guess there just wasn't really the relationship there. And so then the Lord really opened up this student coordination time, though, and so I brought this to the other students, and once we prayed about it in a regular weekly way, she opened up to a lot more students. And actually, before where there had been a reservation, she wasn't fully entering into the church life. Afterwards, she really fully entered in.
Amen.
And she even set up her own times with other students. And the Lord just really showed me that even when we're trying to take care of a new one, even though we think we can do it on our own, even though I prayed for her on my own, it wasn't until I brought the burden to the student coordination time that the Lord really used it to open her up.
Amen.
And she's now fully in the church life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. My name is Dawn. I go to Cal State Long Beach. I'm a senior at Cal State Long Beach. Just a quick background of where I come from. I've moved around quite a bit. I've met in about 5 different localities, cities in the past 4 years, 3 schools. But the Lord has touched me a lot on I realized that I really didn't have much of a connection with the campus, and I didn't have much of a burden for the campus. I moved to California about 2 years ago, and when I moved out here, I was living in Cypress but going to school in Long Beach, and I feel I didn't have much connection with Long Beach and with the campus there. And a brother gave a word in Cypress to the students in Cypress, really out of concern and out of love. It wasn't a word on telling us what to do or anything like that, but really at a point where the team felt that they couldn't do anything else. They couldn't pray anymore. They couldn't move anymore on the campus unless the students started praying. That the students needed to take a stand and really needed to have a burden and concern for their friends, a love for their friends, a love for the people on the campus. And when they started praying, the Lord touched me about Long Beach. And I ended up moving to Long Beach, and the Lord started moving in Long Beach, which was so sweet. We started a coordination time out of much prayer and fellowship, and originally it was every other week, and we would meet for about an hour and a half. And then when the prayer started, more prayer needed to happen. We realized that we needed a weekly time, not just months every other week. So we started having it every other week. And from that, also issued in, we realized not everybody could make it during the coordination time once a week. So we started having a prayer time on Sunday after the meeting. And that brought about so much more burden from all the students. The students started to realize, what about my friend? What about this person? What about this person? We began to pray for them more. And actually, through that prayer and fellowship, the students realized we didn't know each other. We didn't know the other. We didn't know the new ones. We didn't know, like, who was a freshman or who was a transfer or was a commuter school. So we didn't feel like we knew anyone. And we decided to start the college meeting. We had a college meeting in Long Beach, but it was scattered and every once in a while, and it wasn't that many that came. But the students, we started really praying a lot. And we had started having college meeting weekly on Thursday night, and the Lord really blessed that time. The numbers doubled, tripled, quadrupled, I don't even know, 30, 40, yeah. It just became a very large number and really sweet because just all the students entered in. They entered in and even caring for the time, the dessert, the drink, whatever you want. They just really entered in and praying for the new ones, praying for those, and more just developed more of a burden for the campus and realizing that it's our campus. And who else is going to speak to others? Who else is going to have a burden for others? We need to be those that have a burden. And amen. Praise the Lord. But through all the prayer and fellowship, a lot more things came about, and we were able to, anyways, we just really enjoying the time on the campus and really enjoying having a burden. It's so important to have a burden.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
My name is Mario Rosado. I live in Long Beach, but I go to Cerritos College. I live right in between Cal State Long Beach, Cerritos College, and Long Beach City. So I decided to go to Cerritos. And actually, there's not that much campus work at Cerritos. I think I was the only one in the church life at that campus last year. But through desperate prayer and through all the college training, the Lord imparted a burden to me for the campus work. So I come along with other students at Cal State Long Beach to work on Cal State Long Beach. I still go to Bible studies at Cerritos, but anyways, yeah. So that time been very, very good, very enjoyable. It's not only a salvation. In my experience, not only a salvation for me to come to this time every Tuesday night and after the meeting on Sundays and all the college meetings, but actually, I feel like it was necessary for my growth in life,
Amen.
For my church, for my maturity in the Lord.
Amen.
And also, this time, the Lord afforded a way for me to get a vital companion. This brother, the dear brother, he's nothing like me, but we have the same burden, which is the campus. And so, little by little, it started like a phone call here, a phone call there. We would call each other here. Until it was like every night, we'll call each other. We'll try to call each other. Of course, we fail. But we'll call each other. If it's for 5 minutes, oh, brother, I'm in the middle of something. Let's pray real quick. Or if it's for 2 hours, how was your day? Or whatever. And we pray. We pray desperately for different ones and that we have contact with. And I was fortunate. And this actually afforded me a way to become more aggressive on the campus. Even to preach the gospel to a coworker that I got saved and brought to the meetings. And he started coming to meetings a little bit. And that and also brought me to have appointments with new ones. I think I have an appointment with two new ones. And as I'm having these appointments with these new ones, I realized that I can shepherd them in little ways. But then I realized that I lack in a lot of ways. It exposed me. I'm not constituted enough. And now even that gives me an appetite for the Word.
Amen.
And an appetite for all the men. The view of men and my being changed.
Yeah.
I play basketball and now there's different ones who play on my team automatically, gospel candidate.
Yeah.
Or
Amen.
Different things like that. And this all started with the nucleus.
Yeah.
This started from the coordination time with all the students.
Amen.
So I praise the Lord for the nucleus. I'm very excited to go back just to hear this beautiful word to all the students.
Amen.
And I hope we can dive deeper into this nucleus and the burden of the campuses.
Amen.
Amen.